Imperial Leader, the life story of the foremost man of our time, Winston Churchill. The year is 1915, and Winston Churchill, after a record of hard work, brilliant enterprise, and immeasurable energy as First Lord of the Admiralty, has resigned, following on criticism by many politicians and others who seek to find a scapegoat for all their failures. Churchill enters the House of Commons to make his final speech as First Lord. The House is critical, but soon, under the magic oratory of our great adventurer, comes a change of feeling. Today, he is a minister of the crown. Tomorrow, he will be a soldier in Flanders.
All through this year, I have offered the same counsel to the government. Undertake no operation on the Western Front, which is more costly to us in life than to the enemy. In the East, take Constantinople. Take it by ships, if you can. Take it by soldiers, if you must. Take it, whichever plan, military or naval, commends itself to your military experts. But take it, and take it soon, and take it while time remains. There is no reason to be discouraged about the progress of the war. We are passing through a bad time now, and it will probably be worse before it is better. But that it will be better if we only endure and persevere, I have no doubt whatever.
This has hurt you very much, dear, hasn't it?
It hurts me now that it's all over, Clementine. The great reverses and losses of life are surprisingly endurable at the moment they're received. The shock numbs but doesn't paralyze. The wound bleeds but doesn't smart. When I knew I was to leave the Admiralty, I resigned myself to it. When I addressed the House, I felt that I could stand up pretty well under the blow. But now, well, I can't help feeling a little sorry for myself.
But you're still a member of the government, Winston.
Yes. When the Prime Minister offered me the Chancellorship of the Duchy of Lancaster, I was inclined to refuse it. But when he coupled with it the promise that I should be a member of the War Council, I had to accept. You see, my dear, I'm still vitally interested in what happens at Gallipoli. I want to help to make the Dardanelles plan a success.
Lord Kitchener to see you, sir.
Oh. Kitchener? Ask him to come in.
Very good, sir.
Lord Kitchener is still Secretary for War, isn't he?
Yes, the public wouldn't stand for his dismissal. I doubt if he has any idea how close he was to sharing my fate.
Lord Kitchener.
It was good of you to call.
Please sit down.
Thank you, Mrs. Churchill. I've just dropped in for a few minutes. How do you feel, old man?
I'm convalescent now.
Is it definitely settled that you're to leave the Admiralty?
Yes, I've got the Duchy of Lancaster. I'm still to be on the War Council.
I'm glad. And who's to take your place?
Balfour.
Well, I hope he and I work together as well as you and I have done in the past, Churchill. It's been very pleasant on the whole. Of course, we've had our differences, but they haven't affected our cooperation in the least. I will miss you very much.
Very good of you to say so.
I appreciate your coming here to say so, Lord Kitchener.
Oh, not at all, not at all. Well, that's all I wanted to say. I must be getting along now. There's a great deal to be done.
I can't pretend to be busy any longer. They've taken that excuse away from me now.
Well, Churchill, But there's one thing at any rate they can't take from you. The fleet was ready.
Goodbye.
You want to see me, Mr. Ashworth?
Yes, Churchill. Sit down. Cigar?
Oh, thanks. Is anything wrong?
Everything. The Balkans, the Western Front, the Dardanelles. We have never been at so low an ebb.
I know, things are going badly. But the tide will surely turn.
We've got to make it turn, Churchill. And that brings me to the point. I have decided to reconstitute the War Council. In future, it will be called the War Committee. And will be limited to 5 members.
5?
Mr. Balfour, Lord Kitchener, Mr. Lloyd George, Sir Edward Grey, and myself.
I see. I'm to be excluded.
I'm sorry, Churchill, but circumstances have arisen which make it impossible for you to remain.
May I know those circumstances?
You are aware that General Monroe sent to replace Sir Ian Hamilton at Gallipoli. His instructions were to make a thorough investigation of the position there, and then express an opinion as to whether the peninsula should be evacuated or another attempt made to carry it.
To evacuate would be unthinkable, surely.
Here is General Monroe's report. It consists, as you see, of one word only.
Evacuation. Evacuation, ye gods! After one glance, this man can make a decision like that. No matter what agony, what tears, what bloodshed was spent in its taking, it must now be evacuated on the word of a man whose supreme conception of strategy is killing Germans. Anything that kills Germans is right. Anything that does not kill Germans, even though it may eventually defeat them, is useless. And so, General Monroe arrives, decides, and departs. Unlike Caesar, he came, he saw, he capitulated.
I can understand your feelings, Churchill. I know you were thoroughly convinced of the necessity to proceed with the Dardanelles operation. Even now, we have decided nothing. Kitchener has gone to Gallipoli himself.
What are the generals on the spot? What do they think?
Bean and Davis favor evacuation. Birdwood and Maxwell are opposed to it. Kitchener's vote will decide.
Mr. Prime Minister, since I am excluded from the War Committee, I can no longer remain in the government. I must ask you to accept my resignation immediately.
But what do you intend to do?
My usefulness is finished in England. I shall go where my efforts may perhaps be more successful, to France. It's time I began soldiering again.
Well, Winston, how do you like being a soldier again?
Well, better than being a politician, David. I've been serving with the 2nd Battalion of the Grenadier Guards near Levante. I couldn't ask for better comrades.
Oh, you are going back, then?
Yes, to take over the command of the 6th Royal Scots. You see, as a cavalry officer, I've had a lot of things to unlearn. It's very difficult to get used to the altered commands. I remember once we set off in a column of 4s, and I saw a fence in front. Without thinking, I shouted, "Head of the column, 3 quarters, left wheel."
And what happened?
The companies lurched forward, the subaltern swore, the companies rammed each other behind and before, and the whole matter resulted in a melee of blasphemous humanity and outrageous feelings.
any remarks?
I did hear one voice asking plaintively, "Shouldn't we gallop, sir?" However, I realized my imperfections and was willing to learn. I think I got the hang of things now.
Yes. No need to tell you, we've been having our difficulties, too.
Yes, I noticed the Kitchener's wings have been clipped.
Yes. The Gallipoli evacuation, combined with the failure of the offensive in France and the reverse in Mesopotamia, have undermined public confidence in him. Northcliffe has been making things pretty hot. We had to do something, so we brought back Sir William Robertson and recreated the Imperial General Staff. From now on, Kitchener can't act on his own initiative alone.
That means you introduce conscription.
I can't see any other way out. We can't maintain 70 divisions and possibly 100 divisions without entirely new measures. The outflow at present is greater than the intake, and it's going to be worse. Kitchener's against it, and so is Asquith, but they can't argue against facts.
Another crisis. And while politicians, generals, and admirals are quarreling, simple soldiers are enduring endless months of fortitude and privation and slaughter.
But despite all the mistakes, including my own, these fellows, armed with their cause, will plod on to victory. Oh, I'd be glad to get back to them again. Somehow, life seems cleaner there.
After the parliamentary battle, in the greater arena, the Western Front, Winston Churchill, in command of a battalion, goes to Flanders to resume life as a soldier, so many years after his exploits as a subaltern in the Boer War.